Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast. This is the Gilcast, Davis Maddock, Sammy Reed, Nate Noling. A unique combination. We do not get these very often, where not one, not two, but all three of us got smoked in NFL DFS cash games on DraftKings.com. We all just spent 7 hours of commercial free football in the fucking torture chamber. Just nothing went right. I don't think I made one good decision pre-lock period. I think the swap that I ended up making actually was very good considering where I started from. But if I would have just played right to begin with, would never have had to have made it. Fellas, it's a group therapy session here on the Gilcast. We're having a bad time. We're having a bad fucking time.
I don't want to do this show.
Nate, tell us your feelings. How are you doing?
I don't want to do the show. Like, it was a terrible day. It was a terrible day of football. The slate sucked. And it was like watching the games was like the most painful run out ever. Like, I had a bunch of stuff in the afternoon that just like, I mean, at halftime of these afternoon games, it was like, this is brutal. Jimmy G getting hurt, Devontae not doing anything, Kyron first half not doing anything, staff, I mean, just everything. Nothing in these second half games went the way it was supposed to. The first half games weren't good. Nothing was good today. It was an awful day of football, and I lost money. It's not a good day.
All right. So key decision. Well, here, these are the scores.
Yeah, Moreland
Dervish, 139.14. Davis Maddock, 137.5. Nate N, 134.14. Key decisions of the slate. Who are you playing at quarterback, Burrow or Stafford? I honestly didn't really consider Stafford for a second. I thought Stafford's best game this year is 20.7. Honestly, didn't even really want to play Burrow. There was like a 7-minute period before lock where I wanted to play Justin Fields. And just because I was like, everything went right for Burrow last week. Burrow went as nuclear as he can go, and he got 27 points. Like, what, is that going to kill me? No, it's not.
That's what I'm saying. Burrow's just a more expensive Stafford. Like, Burrow's not running the way he did break the pocket for the first time. But, like, Burrow isn't Burrow of years past.
I should be clear. I don't think that playing Stafford was bad. I just was not into it. I thought Burrow's ceiling was maybe slightly higher. Well, these were the guys who were most owned. Mostert obviously was stone chalk. Then you had to choose between one of Donta Foreman or Chuba Hubbard. Then you had to choose between a third running back of Travis Etienne, Josh Jacobs, David Montgomery, Kyron Williams. And Kyron was who I had originally. We'll get into swapping stuff here a little bit. Then Jamar Chase was, let's see, in the massive $50 double up, Jamar Chase, 75% owned. Christian Kirk, 54% owned. I started out with Hollywood Brown. I think both of you guys started out with and capped Hollywood Brown. And then there was a much smarter team that had Adam Thielen instead of Hollywood Brown. All you Thielen players, I just want to commend you. You know ball. You are smart. You understand the fundamentals of the game that we are playing, which is that Adam Thielen cannot be stopped. Dude had 10 targets in the first half. It was always going to happen that way. And then Evan Ingram at tight end. And then there were a vast swath of defenses that people were considering. There was the 49ers defense, which is, I think, the only time I've ever seen a $4,000 defense 10% owned in cash. There was the Buccaneers, there was the Lions, there was the Patriots, and then gotta hand it to you if you played the Minnesota Vikings team, which I had for a while, ended up not playing, but the Vikings at 8% owned and the massive $50 double up, 21 DraftKings points. So the guys, the spot that I was most struggling with was obviously that Hollywood Brown spot, the tight end spot, and defense. Nate, you told us we were all stonefish if we didn't play Evan Ingram. So I listened to you and I played Evan Ingram, but I should have just played Kyle Pitts. I got to admit, before we get into all this stuff, I was playing tight as shit this week. I lost the last 2 weeks and I was like, all right, just like, don't be dumb. Just play Evan Ingram, play Hollywood Brown, like just do it, whatever. And that led to me. I played bad. I played pretty bad this week. I think Evan Ingram was bad.
Well, obviously I don't. I mean, so there was a couple things, a couple leverage points that I saw in cash this week that I was excited about playing. Number one was Evan Ingram. I thought that Evan Ingram for his price was a better value and outpaced the rest of the position so much more so, almost as much as like Raheem Mostert was for running backs. Like it was, Evan Ingram was as much of a lock to me. The way he's being used right now, he's basically being used like a wideout. And on this slate with the rest of these tight ends that people were going to be playing, just like praying for three targets, I wasn't going to get off Ingram. Like Ingram was so clearly like as lock as you could get for a tight end.
Fucking Kyle Pitts though, dude. Kyle Pitts is finally happening and he's 3,500 and I just not wave it. Yeah. That is not... That is so off.
And Ingram gets the usage. Ingram had like seven targets.
I'm not saying he doesn't.
He is basically a wide receiver at 4,500 at a tight end position that you're playing a bunch of dust balls where you're praying for three targets.
No, Kyle Pitts is not a dust ball, Nate.
Yeah, he's not a dust ball. I think that's the key is that, yeah, Evan Ingram's
the volatility on the rest of these guys' projections it's so high. The rest of these guys' projections are so fragile.
Bro, Evan Ingram's is fragile. I mean, look, dude. I had this whole like argument with you last night over text. You're up at like, you know, 1 a.m. Central time or whatever. And I'm like texting with you and I'm like, dude, Evan Ingram, like he's not going to bury you. Like these tight end projections are fragile. Evan Ingram's is too. And like, I'm like, oh, I'm not playing Ingram. And then I ended up playing Ingram. And I'm just like mad at myself for being such a mentally weak suck. I mean, Jesus H. Christ, like
it's
knew
just
better.
The Pitts
I know
was
ball
so
and
better.
I didn't do it. Nate got in my head, man.
The Pitts thing is frustrating. It's a little bit of hindsight frustrating. I mean, obviously he scored.
Yes, if Pitts doesn't score the touchdown, you're not playing
but
this game.
The thing that I'm hindsighting is that team fit much. You did Thielen, you did Pitts, and you did the Vikings defense, and that team is just the nuts. So it's just frustrating to know that.
Yeah,
that
the Vikings D right thing there. Ended up being tilting because the Vikings D ended up being in the chalkiest train. It was in the train that was duped 209 times.
Well,
this was the
team.
Up.
This was I know that team because I had this team before Locke. This is the big train of the massive $50 double up. Burrow, Mostert, Hubbard, Hollywood Brown, Jamar Chase, Christian Kirk, Evan Ingram, Kyren Williams, and the Vikings defense. I had this train with Foreman. We can talk about that here in a little bit, but it is just. It's not even like this is obviously the very frustrating part of NFL DFS is like if you ran that lineup that I just said versus our lineups in a sim of 10,000 slates or whatever, that team probably wins 50.1% of the time and ours wins, you know, 49.9% of the time or whatever. And that is it is just such an exercise in variance. But when you're spending your entire Sunday just begging your players to get yards, begging for points. It just becomes so goddamn frustrating.
Hollywood yeah. Brown,
honestly,
like catch a ball.
The mistake, if I'm like looking at my team now and not through like hindsight, I think the one mistake is that Adam Thielen over Brown. Adam Thielen is a much better cash play
it's
than Brown.
So
like,
much better.
It's so much better. And that's where my mistake was. The Josh Jacobs versus Kyren versus ETN. I think if you roll this slate 1,000 times, like it's going to be 33, 33.
I was never going to play Jacobs. I was 0% ever playing Jacobs.
That's yeah. I mean, the other thing is, the usage that those three get is so similar that I don't think you can really say that there's much of an edge parsing out.
I liked ETN. So again, another iteration of this team was ETN and the Buccaneers defense there again, which would have been fine. All of it would have been fine if you had Adam Thielen.
I mean, New England literally had no defensive players healthy. I mean, they rolled out a shell of a defense. Like Jacobs with his usage in this spot, like, was a great play. So was ETN and so was Kyren. But I thought, yeah, Hollywood was bad. Hollywood was bad in comparison to Thielen. I should have gotten to Thielen.
It was also a $600 difference. Thielen's $600 more.
But so but you essentially were, but the Buccaneers defense at $2,300 was like so fine. Like Goff outside,
yeah.
You know.
Oh yeah.
That was the other mistake I think people played today. Well, I think there were three mistakes people made today. I think fading in Evan Engram. I think number two was a lot of people paid up for 49ers defense. And I think that in a spot where you're not expecting a lot of passing volume, in a spot where you're not expecting, like, that's how your defense gets points. And so,
yeah, I agree with that.
I genuinely think like paying up for the 49ers in this spot where they're going cross country, not in like a game where it's going to be slow weather, that's not where you want to pay 4K for a defense. So I thought that was a mistake. And then I also thought playing for both Chuba and Foreman were a mistake.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I thought there was three spots that I wanted to capitalize on in cash and didn't work out.
Yeah. And I think the reason that's a mistake is because there are so many good values. The guys we're talking about in that like 6K range where the guys are like legitimate bell cows in a way that like Dante Foreman is not. And it was fully reasonable to expect that he wouldn't be also, you know what I mean? Like we were all debating Chuba versus Foreman. Right.
And I was the only one that went Foreman. And ultimately,
because you don't know ball, man.
No,
you just don't know ball. You don't know how to look at the roster.
No, it was too much ball knowing. It was ball knowing that led me to make this mistake because my thought was, well, I think Foreman's actually kind of good. Like, I think Foreman is like a pretty good rusher, which he is, but that's not really the point.
That's assuming rational coaching. We've seen them literally have him inactive.
He got plenty of work. He got 15 carries and a target. Chuba Hubbard got 19 carries and a
target. But Chuba has been, they've been trying to use Chuba in games where Miles Sanders is healthy. And then he gets a spot where he's going to get all of the workload. And then you're trying to play this guy because you think he's good, but the Bears clearly don't like him. And clearly
he was good for a couple games last year, but the guy doesn't have a carry since like mid 2020 or whatever.
He was active week one. The other thing was that he did get three targets in garbage time in week one for the Bears. So I was like, I don't think he's a zero in the passing game. Honestly, of all the things I did wrong, this is one that I'm not going to sweat. Like, it just like, sure, maybe I should have just gone with the field on it. ETR had Hubbard projected more. This is actually an example of like ball knowing opinions causing you to do something suboptimal and having opinions on like talent and things. Cause I think Hubbard is just a very average backup NFL running back. Whereas he is,
but the thing is he operates, and we actually didn't see it today, which was a little frustrating. He's operated in like a pass catching role, and he's been fine in the pass catching game. So he only had like one target today, but it was like in a game where they're projected to kind of get whooped up, and they did, and be behind a lot. It's like I thought it was very much in play that he got like 3-4 targets. Whereas I didn't think Foreman was drawing live for that.
And the field agreed. Foreman. Well, and that was what I was, and Hubbard was,
I was
50.
Shocked by that. If we were playing this in the same slate in 2020, Foreman would have been 50% owned. The fact that there was that much of a gap between Hubbard and Foreman shocked me. Like the field is sharper. People are not just blindly paying for these running backs, you know? So yeah,
except Davis, do you get there if you play Chuba?
Of course he does.
I think it's one of those things where, cause like 90% of my action is head to heads. I'd have to go through and look at all my stuff. The cash line in the, let's see how many positions are paid 1,000. The cash line was 143 points. So yeah, I do get there, I wouldn't have made my swapped, and I'd made a I think what was a pretty good swap.
Let's talk receivers. I mean, obviously, we all were playing Chase.
Chase and Kirk were a lock. Yeah.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. So the lineup, that the reason I'm tilted is because the lineup I had last night was essentially an alpha lineup like I did last week, where I paid down a quarterback and went with Minshew, and I paid down at wide receiver three and went with Downs, and I didn't play Kirk. And I went down at tight end and played Pitts. I went down at DST, and then I paid up for Cooper Kupp. And that would have gotten it. That would have had it. And that's why I'm so frustrated, because in the end, I was afraid of Christian Kirk. I was like, dude, Kirk can really like bury me here if I have Downs and Kirk is out there. And I ended up going with this vanilla ass, bitch ass lineup that was like, you know, Matt Stafford, Evan Ingram, you know, these dust balls who suck my ass. And I ended up getting dusted for it. I should have just gone all alphas again like I did last week and just buried everybody and talked about how smart I am. And instead, I'm sitting here playing Evan Ingram and, you know, just counting all the money I don't have. It sucks.
It does suck. It's not very fun at all. It just doesn't feel very good just to know, like, it doesn't feel very good to know that you had a relatively right read of where the chalk construction was going to be fragile and then doing it anyways. Like, showing up with Evan Ingram is just so against everything that I stand for. Like, Evan Ingram is just like a slightly more fancy Zach Ertz, and I could have just played $3,500 Kyle Pitts, who is an alpha, and I would have played Thielen. And it's so fucking annoying. I toyed around with Tyreek and Chase together. Now, the issue with that lineup is you were using the flex because you were so you were only playing two running backs. So then I tried to do it with I had a team that was Tyreek, Chase, and Brandon Powell, a $3,000 wide receiver with Kyren in the flex, which I think obviously in the end would have gotten there because Tyreek got $1 billion and what's his name? Kyren, you know, absolutely smashed. But I mean, that type of stuff is like going off the reservation, and maybe Sammy can go off the reservation that far. I only go like 10 degrees off the reservation in like the worst direction.
I should have gone, man. I mean, the listeners are sitting here. They don't even know what the hell we played. So why don't we say the teams?
Okay. Sammy played Matthew Stafford, Travis Etienne Jr., Raheem Mostert, Marquise Brown, Jamar Chase, Christian Kirk, Evan Ingram, Chuba Hubbard, and the Patriots defense. I played
cuck lineup.
Yeah, pretty cucky. I initially played Joe Burrow, Raheem Mostert, Donta Foreman, Marquise Brown, Jamar Chase, Christian Kirk, Evan Ingram, Kyren Williams, and the Lions defense. I swapped in the Buccaneers defense. I swapped Hollywood Brown to Garrett Wilson. I swapped Kyren Williams to DeAndre Swift. And I swapped the Buccaneers defense to the Patriots defense, just not because I thought they were a good play, but because I thought they were going to be less owned, which they were. The Buccaneers.
I mean, here's the reason the Patriots were such a bad play is because Jimmy Garoppolo got taken to the hospital and Brian Hoyer came in and they still couldn't do anything.
Diced them the fuck up. Yeah.
Like, you don't want any piece of this team. You don't want the defense. You don't want the tight ends. You don't want the core. You don't want anything except Kendrick Bourne, because he's goated. But at the end of the day, this team is just complete cancerous. And I'm mad I even played their defense, man. Like, so stupid.
And Nate played Matthew Stafford, Raheem Mostert, Chuba Hubbard, Hollywood Brown, Jamar Chase, Christian Kirk, Evan Ingram, Josh Jacobs, and the Lions defense. I guess because Burrow stunk and because you didn't know that Josh Jacobs was a bad play yet, neither of you guys considered swapping at all?
No.
No, because ETN scored two touchdowns in the first game. Ingram had seven catches, you know, like,
yeah, your swap would have been bad. I maybe would have.
And the only thing I had locked was Mostert, Hubbard, Chase Kirk,
Ingram. Yeah.
And everything was good.
Yeah. There was no
if you would have just played Kyren instead of Josh Jacobs.
If I would have played Kyren, if I would have played anybody other than Marquise Brown, I mean, if anything, like
Marquise Brown, bro, I mean, he did us so wrong. He did now, us
to
so
be,
wrong.
To be fair to all the Marquise Brown players, he should have had about 500 fantasy points. I mean, he kept getting wide open and Dobbs would miss him just a little bit or his foot would be out. I mean, it was like, I bet when people are doing their, expected fantasy point stuff on Monday morning, he's going to have had like 23 expected points or something.
Yeah. Yeah. And when my kids are in community college, I'm going to be like, look, the state systems, they didn't, you know, they didn't accept a Sklansky Bucks. I'm sorry. Like we're going to have to do a couple years here before we move on. I mean,
yeah.
Jesus H. Christ, Hollywood Brown. He's a shitty cash play, bro. Like he's 160 pound, like little skinny ass receiver on a shite team. Like
I don't in a vacuum, that's not true. It's just that Thielen is like Puka Nacua, but on the fucking Panthers, you know?
Yeah,
like,
Thielen knows how to play ball. Hollywood Brown does not.
I do also want to say there was a Justin Fields, Thielen, Pitts team out there that I had. I can probably even go scroll up and go find it. That obviously I don't think would have ended up getting there because Justin Fields got hurt. But I kind of think that was the right team to play. Let's see what it was. So Fields, Mostert, Hubbard, Chase, Kirk, Hollywood, Pitts, ETN, Bucks defense. I mean, that
sounds pretty good.
I don't think that team gets there, but.
Well, only because Fields dusts. I mean, the reality is when what you guys are talking about at the start, these pocket quarterbacks who like are just have a 250 yard, one and a half touchdown baseline.
303, I think, is 21 points. If you don't do anything else. So it's like,
yeah, it, what
the Justin Fields does that, like maybe without a touchdown sometimes, like, you know?
Yeah. I, you know, it was just one of those spots where I originally had Minshew. I had him all week. He's a really good value. And it's just like, you know, Minshew just doesn't really move the needle. Like these guys can throw three touchdowns and get the bonus. I mean,
Minshew almost got like negatives and then he just like super turned it on in garbage time.
Yeah, of course.
Minshew had all the garbage time.
Because he's a goat.
I would not say that. I don't think after watching these games that I mean, not that if you played Minshew, you're bad, because I don't think that's true. But after watching that performance, I'm like, dude, he is playing with his hair on fire. He took three sacks, threw three picks. You know, I mean, he chucked it 55 times, so he ended up throwing for 329 and one. And I'm sure you could have built a good team with him because you wouldn't have had Hollywood Brown on it. Although you might have used that money to pay up for the 49ers defense. So maybe
that's probably what people did.
Well, there was our basic construction with Josh Downs instead of Hollywood Brown and the 49ers defense, which again, I thought Downs was a really strong play, so I'm not even hating on that.
But you don't do it so you can pay up a defense. Like that's foolish.
I would have maybe done it to like try and get up to Hockenson or something, a tight end. Like I don't, this feels like a slate that really needed Travis Kelce on it. If Kelce would have been on this slate, it would have been so much more interesting, I feel like.
Yeah. Man, looking at these lineups, I'm tilting. These train teams.
Well,
that have
all right.
The Vikings,
let me get my final cash game tilt out of the way, and then we can do our tournament lineups. So Garrett Wilson gets the bonus, right? He has about a 35 yarder. He catches a nice little crosser, makes about seven guys miss. Alan Lazard throws a block into the chest of the Eagles defender, and they call a block in the back. They call a block in the back for a block in the chest. I'm not a huge complainer about the refs. It's a hard job. It kind of all equals out in the end, whatever. But that, it's just like, I was so pissed off. Cause I'm like, Garrett Wilson was 0.3% owned. He has 13 targets. He's like the greatest. I mean, he is so fucking good. Garrett Wilson is. And I'm just like, I felt like such a mega mind for this swap where I get the DeAndre Swift six catch touchdown game, Garrett Wilson 100 yard bonus. And I'm sitting there watching. I'm like, wait, they're calling this back? For what reason could this play possibly be getting called back? I was so annoyed.
You should have done a Bourne swap.
I told you.
All the high price guys sucked. Adams.
Yeah. Puka. Adams got, yeah.
I guess AJ Brown, Kendrick.
AJ Brown would have done it. Yeah.
Would have done it.
Did you guys consider Lawrence at all at QB? He was the other guy I considered.
Yeah, I did.
No. Here's the reason why.
I liked were Jags.
Yeah, I didn't even like my lineup because it had three Jags in it. And the thing is about the Jags is they suck.
They do.
And that's one thing you got to like really understand is you can't just be like, oh, yeah, I'm going to play cash today. I'm going to put all this money on there and it all is going to go with the Jags. if they do well, I win. If they do bad, I'm out. It's like, this is a crappy spot to put yourself in. I actually played three Jags in cash, and I was trying like hell to get off of it. I was trying to like figure out how to like not do this. And obviously I could have gone down to Kyren Williams, who I liked a lot, instead of ETN. You know, I could have saved $1,000 by going down to Pitts, but then it's like, what do I do with that money? There were no guys like at different price points. You basically had to blow up the entire lineup to like make it happen. But no, absolutely not. No Trevor Lawrence. No. No. Three Jags was too many.
I'm so pissed off.
Dude, this slate sucks. Nate, you and I actually had the same team, except
yeah, we were a 2v2. I had Jacobs and Lions versus ETN and Patriots.
Yeah. I didn't realize we were that close.
It's 2 weeks in a row where my dumbass IKBing cost me about 11 points and cost me winning, which is just like, you know, Davis, maybe fucking learn. Maybe learn that you don't know ball. Maybe just stop doing that and just play the guy who's projected for more points.
Back and to you the know the second you do, it's going to go the other way on you.
Oh, the second I like don't play Dalton Kincaid and play...
Dalton Kincaid goes for three touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean, thank God I don't have to deal with that on the showdown slate that's locking literally as we're talking. But yeah, I mean, the second I'm like, I'm just going to ride with the projections, I'm going to play the ETR train team, that team is getting shellacked, you know, just like getting... And the other thing is, and this is worth talking about, is all of us are mostly playing head-to-heads now, and just running like the Giga Train team and head-to-heads is not always optimal because you want to have some differences versus the people you're playing, especially if it's a spot where you think the field could be wrong. And I did think the field could be wrong on Hubbard versus Foreman. I mean, the Bears team total was higher. Like the Panthers have been just getting absolutely like Miles Sanders has been useless for fantasy. It's just that it all condensed into one guy, basically. And Chenault also got injured too, which was the other interesting thing.
Yeah, I actually think Visca might have scavenged a little bit more if he was in there.
Yeah. But I mean, whatever. I'm not trying to be
Hubbard was still better than Foreman.
I played bad and I got the commiserate results. I entered into $1,400 worth of games and I got like $400 back, and you get what you get. I mean,
yeah, you got the blade for not knowing ball. I mean, at the end of the day, this was a mentally weak performance by you and I, Davis. I mean, Nate does what Nate does. You know, he spits his shit through an optimizer and, you know, wow, this projection's like 0.35 more. And, you know, he gets that. But me and you, we knew ball. We knew that Kyle Pitts was the play. We knew it. We knew it. And you know, we got mentally weak. You were mentally weak and I was mentally weak. And that's why we lost money on this fine Sunday. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah,
Evan Ingram played Adam Thielen.
Yeah, I mean,
I want to talk about a team. I was just very surprised when the cards turned over. I played this team in this is one of the smaller red zones, so this was only 1,200 entries. So I played a Fields stack with a double Vikings bring back. Shocked to see Justin Fields at 15% owned. Also pretty surprised to see DJ Moore at 21% owned. I thought that there was enough talk about, oh, the weather and the Vikings are just not going to be as efficient. Like, I just was surprised. Now, Addison, I did really like. He was 13%. I also did play Brandon Powell on this team. He was 4% owned, which Brandon Powell at 4% owned, I mean...
It's a couple ticks too high.
It's a couple ticks too high. I mean, even me playing him is bad. And we've talked about like the bringbacks, and the bringbacks are overdone. Although I thought for that specific game, I thought it was either the wind and the weather isn't an issue and Fields is passing well and Cousins is able to figure it out as a passer without Justin Jefferson, or they won't. So I thought this was an instance where the bringbacks were actually very highly correlated, instead of it just being like the Seahawks game. I would have been more comfortable playing the Bengals guys without Metcalf or whatever, just because like the Bengals can, I mean, we literally saw it last week, the Bengals can just go score 30 without the other team doing anything. The running backs I played on this team were Kyren Williams at 24%, Mostert at 62%. I think I played Mostert on every team. He's the second highest scoring running back in fantasy.
Yeah, I think the thing is when you're building teams, it's like you have to acknowledge what the good chalk is.
Yes.
Right. And Mostert was good chalk, just like David Montgomery last week was good chalk. Like, this is good chalk. Like, just eat it.
But jokes on me. I also thought Jamar Chase was good chalk. He was the flex in this lineup. 37% owned for 14 points. I did play Kyle Pitts on this team, and the Lions defense. I think I played Pitts on all my GPP teams as well, which is just, that's how you know you're being a bitch in cash, when you're like, okay, I'm not going to play this guy in cash, but then I'll play him in all my tournaments, and it'll totally make up for it when I'm wrong and I lose all my head-to-heads. It's like,
yeah. Did you play Foreman in tournaments?
I played him in one of four single entry teams, I think, which is, again, probably, I thought that was, I mean, we talk about this all the time, the cheap running back that you play in cash, but you see the path to failure, so you don't play him in tournaments. I thought Foreman and Hubbard were actually great examples of guys who could both get single digits a huge percentage of the time. And I preferred the more fragile, like Robert Woods, the aforementioned Brandon Powell. I had this extremely galaxy brain take. These are my worst plays when I go down the rabbit hole of reading a team's report, a team's page on The Athletic, to get like some insight into like what the beats and the fans are saying and stuff. And the Rams fans are obsessed with this tight end they have, Drew Ogletree, who ran more routes than Kylan Granson last week. And like Shane Steichen is like talking at the press conference about how he's such a monster in the run blocking game. And he was 2,600. So I did play Drew Ogletree on a red zone team.
Davis, you don't even know ball. You just like try to derive ball from The Athletic.
Okay. All right. This is a good game. I'll pull up my red zone lineup that had Drew Ogletree in it. What do you guys think Drew Ogletree was owned in the red zone?
I mean,
0.1.
Yeah, what's one team divided by?
I got it. Oh, the showdown lineups just went over. Okay. All right. I have played a guy without an integer before the decimal before that has worked out. Greg Dortch, one of them. Lamar Jackson, actually, one of them. Drew Ogletree was 0.4% owned in this contest. He did not record a statistic. He did get a target, but he didn't catch it. It's not really my finest effort.
Not
really my best effort as a player this weekend.
Yeah.
All right, Sammy, you're up.
Okay, here we go. This one was in one of the red zones. I did a Burrow Chase and Lockett bring back. And Lockett at 5,700 was just like severely bad.
I don't have any issue with that.
No, I mean, there were other guys I liked around that range. I actually highly considered Thielen and didn't do it, but you know, not going to cry because this lineup sucked anyways. Of course, I played Mostert because he's good chalk. And I played a little running back tight end game with Bijan Robinson the week after he failed as the chalk, and Logan Thomas. And let me tell you, there were no points from this little
Logan Thomas as chalk. I was like, I got no interest in that, man. I got no interest in chalk Logan Thomas. Although a Ritter double won the Millie Maker.
Holy shit, did it?
By like, I think like 8 points, 226. No one else got to above 220.
Wow. I just thought I was like so smart because I'm like, nobody's going to own Bijan on this slate. And like,
someone played Ritter against me in a 109, and I just got a golf clap for that person. They just they took me to the woodshed.
Yeah, well done.
That dude knew ball.
I didn't understand that Logan Thomas was going to be 27% owned.
That's insane.
That is when you know, like, DFS might seem very beatable because chuckleheads like us play it, but someone's still winning if Logan Thomas is 27% owned.
Yeah, so I didn't understand that was a thing, and so Bijan at 5.8%, I'm happy with that. Logan Thomas at 27%, I mean, fireman of the sun. I also played Kendrick Bourne in this lineup. The only sharp thing that I did, Kendrick Bourne, obvious goat. The Sims really like Kendrick Bourne this week. So he was like one of the guys, like I really jammed into GPPs. I just thought he was mega strong.
Cardi's stuff. He was Kendrick Bourne was his number one points per dollar dude in the whole slate.
Yeah, it's pretty hot. I also played Jacoby Myers. So you know, obviously expecting a shootout in this Las Vegas, New England game.
Gotta expect a shootout between Mac Jones and Jimmy G. I mean, that's
correct. So I did not get first place in this contest. I also played the Bucs defense, not understanding that they were going to be 18% owned. So, man, I just had a shitty weekend, you know, like did all this stuff with my kids all weekend and stuff. And like, you know, hate to like throw up excuses, but I felt like last night I finally get home at like 9 o'clock and I'm like, okay, now I'm going to do it. And it just didn't come together. And frankly, like I was ill prepared. I didn't show up. And I got my ass beat because of it. Now I'm broke and sad. That's it.
I don't even have an excuse. I was around. I had time to look. I had time to think.
Yeah, I did the work. I just played bad. I mean, I knew it this morning waking up. I was like, I don't feel good about the slate. All right, my tournament teams. Let's see.
Mac Jones team.
I mostly played Mostert. This one team I didn't. I was. Overall, I felt like it was going to be a pretty low scoring week. And so what I really tried to do was like dial up the correlation quite a bit and just focus on just like huge game stacks. Cause I play relatively small field stuff. So in the red zone, I had, let's see, it was Stafford triple. So I had Stafford, Kyren, Kupp, and Nacua. And then I brought it back with Ertz and Marquise Brown. So I just went kind of all in on that game. And then I filled it out with Hubbard, Downs, and Vikings D. So felt pretty good about the Nacua ownership. And just overall, I knew, even though I was playing a chalky game, because I was playing it with so many pieces, I knew I was not going to be duped. And I was going to have I was playing it in a unique way that I didn't really have to worry about ownership from the rest of the build. So overall, it didn't hit. I mean, Nacua didn't do anything. Marquise didn't do anything. Ertz didn't do anything. But when looking at this ownership, I'd play this again. I mean, this
you'd,
on this
you'd play
slate,
Zach Ertz again.
Yeah.
Well, we are finally free from the Zach Ertz prison because McBride like doubled him up in routes today. So I think that thing's over.
Yeah. You had to see the writing on the wall. Like he got like 10 targets a couple times early in the year. And you're like, oh shit. Like it's Ertz season. And it's not.
Julie Ertz's husband's fucking balling out, but he's been replaced now.
I'm never like in on Ertz long-term, but like from a DFS standpoint, we just play in a single week. Like it's, he's been the guy, but yeah, it does look like McBride. If all the routes start going his way, then yeah, McBride will be the guy. He's more talented.
Did you guys fall for the Jalen Hurts, Devonta Smith thing? Because I did that in a couple teams. Like, it's Devonta Smith. They just like gave Dallas Goedert 4 targets on the opening drive. It's Devonta Smith's turn.
Bro, people they straight up lost nerves. That game. They straight up lost to the Jets. They were 14-3.
Devonta Smith did just straight up drop like a 56-yard touchdown, just like in his hand.
And the Jets had literally like no corners on defense that were healthy. I mean, I don't know how Jalen Hurts didn't.
And the refs did cheat and take away a 35-yard gain from Garrett Wilson that would have given him the 100-yard bonus on DraftKings. People forget. I won't forget.
Davis's
anytime soon.
Bank account will not forget.
So miserable, man.
Got to hit that deposit button.
And I just like, I like drove to Illinois yesterday to like go like fire like $1,000 worth of pickums and just like had Chase.
You really?
Yeah. Fired so much. Cause I was like, dude, Jamar Chase, 14.5 fantasy points. Can't fail. That's first quarter line, brother. Nope. Didn't get
you went to a different state.
Well, it's like a 15 minute drive from my house.
Oh man, dude, Nate, I gotta tell you. So I have to mea culpa. Not only did I suck ass on DraftKings, but my gold star.
Yeah,
IDP.
I tailed this pick on a bunch of slips too.
Yeah, you're didn't get close. What was it? 4 tackles.
Yeah. Bobby Wagner, 8.5 tackles. I took the over. I was just like, oh, this is a complete smash. I mean, I love this spot for Bobby Wags and he got 4 tackles. So not only did he destroy me, not only did I commit harakiri on DK, but then also on Prize Picks. I mean, Jesus H Christ, like I don't feel this strongly about IDPs that often. And this was one of them. And it's just like, man, that's how I knew this day was going to be ass.
Ayuk got there for me, which made my props day work out because those San Francisco Cleveland lines got so low midweek. It was free.
Yeah, I mean, just Amari Cooper overs would have just done the trick, man.
Amari Cooper, Jerome Ford, Ayuk. I mean, everybody in that game except for McCaffrey getting hurt.
Tough. Just take free every week. Just take Mostert and Tyreek and just use those as your building blocks and then just move on from there.
It seems pretty easy, doesn't it? Like, this isn't rocket science. You just take the really fast guys on the best offense and you just print. I mean, Jesus. Why are we making it so complicated?
I don't know.
Gotta play Evan Ingram at 4,500. You know, he plays like wide receiver. It's like, fuck.
By the way, the funniest thing for me going on right now is how clearly the Dolphins want Jalen Waddle to start also getting these plays, but it's just not quite happening for him. Do you guys see the Waddle's touchdown where Tua had to make like the way more difficult throw when Tyreek was wide open to get it to Waddle? And yeah. Tyreek is just like, wait, I didn't score. Like, he's looking at Waddle. He's like, wait, why is it not in my hands? I had 15 yards of space. I'm in the end zone and Waddle scored. Like, I don't know. The people every week the cards are going to turn over and Waddle is going to be like 13% owned and Tyreek is going to be like 15% owned because you just can't, you just gotta do it.
Yeah. I mean, is Waddle bad now? Like, what's the deal?
No, Waddle's
I don't know. I mean, he's fine, but it's just,
Waddle's great by low.
Yeah. It is
getting anybody getting any exposure. I mean, Salvon Ahmed could be like playable in that offense. Like, Waddle is good. And in that offense, I mean, they're just incredible. I've never seen somebody scheme guys so wide open this way. Everything they do is incredible. So it's like watching the Rams from early 2000s. Like, I mean, it's fun.
Yeah.
Well, the Ahmed, best ball teams, they're happy. They're doing good.
Yeah, good for them. All right, guys, let's get out of here.
Yeah, it sucks.
We took our beating. We'll be back next week.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.